Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Houlihan?
Here.
Councilmember Rochet?
Here.
Councilmember Cummings?
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Here.
Mayor Schumaker?
Here. If you would please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So each of us will have received a copy of the minutes for the April 13th business meeting. Were there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing no corrections, the minutes will stand approved as written. We had no one sign up for citizen comments this evening, so we'll go straight to business. Item 6A, second reading of AXC 2020-04, proposed annexation, rezoning the property located at 1216 West Georgia Road. Our planner, John Derby, will summarize for us.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. This is a second reading for this annexation. This came in last year during the COVID time, the first reading that we kind of held off during that point. Just kind of getting a feeling of how the climate's going. But they are now, they are looking forward to go forward. This is currently residential suburban single family home. They are requesting business general this location. They do not have anything slated as far as projects. They just want to be annexed in for now for police services and a possible if sewer does come down the line. And there's the flag. Nothing has changed from the last reading last year.
A motion is in order. Councilmember Gooch.
Mayor and Council, I move we approve on second reading AXZ 2020-04, annexation rezoning property listed 1216 West Georgia Road.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Gooch with a second from Councilmember Rochet to approve on second reading AXZ 2020-04, proposed annexation rezoning of property located at 1216 West Georgia Road. Discussion? Hearing no discussion. All those in favor, please respond by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries unanimously. Item 6B, second reading of AXC 2021-01, proposed annexation rezoning of property at 215 through 231 Stenhouse Road. Mr. Derby.
Thanks, sir. On the map here is the location for the annexation request. The current zoning is residential suburban. I provide some more slides here to kind of show the outside of this location, kind of reference what RS is. This is our extra future map, and then the yellow area is the neighborhood designation, and the asterisk is the multifamily that we have for our comp plan moving forward. Last annotation we had, we kind of went over what residential suburban was with the county. This is kind of an overall of Greenville County. Again, RS more of a placeholder that the county kind of puts at on the outskirts, somewhere in between different municipalities. Again, this is the RS here and the RS surrounding that. We kind of looked into the comp plan for this location. We have our comp plan as multifamily. Residential. This is Greenville County's future land use map. Zoning ordinance is more of a guiding from how we go currently with our zoning. The comp plan, we use that as for future for rezoning, annexations, and projects that come in, and where we want the city to grow. Same with Greenville County. On this map here, you'll see the circled area is the annexation location. What I want to point out is the orange part of the red hatch across here. That's what Greenville County has as suburban commercial center. It kind of incorporates everything around that. The current East Ames Greens, West Georgia Publix, neighborhood behind this location, and up and down West Georgia Road. Just to give you kind of an example of what Greenville County proposed for this area under suburban commercial. The primary land uses for this location would be regional commercial. Again, this is their fluid concept plan for this location. It is roughly looking at 117 townhome units in here. Will be a rent product. One thing I wanted to mention from the last council meeting, Councilwoman Roche kind of mentioned, if the applicant was to sell this property, or anybody in general was to develop property and leave, they would be held to their POA as well as code enforcement for enforcing any kind of property maintenance kind of issues. I know that was one concern, that when you have a developer come in that is a nice product, if they were to turn around and sell it, it's still going to be held to the same standards of us, all apartments, developments in here. Kind of going back over that suburban commercial center, the neighborhoods behind it, I know they had a lot of pushback with concerns of this being developed right on their area. I think looking for what's being proposed here, a little more better concept as what could be for Greenville County. You have commercial just to the north, but for them, they could also develop that area. The project came along and developed that particular spot as well, the same kind of use, Walmart, shopping centers. So the backside over there, you see townhomes. It does have a buffering through there currently. We don't have no control over that in Greenville County. You could have loading docks back there, compactors, things of that sort that do cause a noise. We wouldn't have any control over that. Landscaping along the front, that'd be all what Greenville County has proposed, and as well as sidewalks. Nothing has changed from the last reading. I can answer any questions you might have.
The motion is in order. Councilmember Houlihan?
Mayor and Council, I move that we approve on second reading AXZ-2021-01, the proposed annexation rezoning of the property at 215-231 Stenhouse Road.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Houlihan with a second from Councilmember Cummings to approve on second reading AXZ-2021-01, proposed annexation rezoning of property at 215-231 Stenhouse Road. Discussion? Councilmember Kelly?
I have a question for the city attorney, Mr. Holmes. Is it possible to amend this and to where we annex but don't rezone?
I'm not sure how you would accomplish that because we have to put a zoning with the property when it comes in the city. So there has to be some zoning classification set.
Any other discussion? Councilmember Houlihan?
At the last meeting when we spoke, there were a number of citizens from the Longley subdivision who came and spoke, and they listened, and the developer was speaking with them after the meeting and was going to hold some meetings and have some communications with them. To your knowledge, did that occur?
He did interact with me. Wanted to know if comments knew have come in. He explained that he did reach out to them, has interacted with them through email and LinkedIn, had discussions with them as far as meeting up and actually going over more of the layout. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Councilmember Kelly?
On this one, I'll just say I did get several emails thanking me for voting no on it previously. Our job, you know, when you get a petition, I can understand that occasionally we have one or two people that aren't happy with something that we're doing. But when you get a group that large, our job is, regardless of what we think, to vote based on our constituents. We're representatives. That's our job. That's what we were elected to do. You get that large of a group saying they don't want this, it's our job, to, whether we agree with it or not, is to represent them. So, to me, this one's still not an option to me.
Mr. Derby, is there any opportunity for us or planning for the city to work together with planning for the county that would maybe address these things a little more in a coordinated way? So I guess what I'm saying is we have, according to what you're showing us, the county is thinking commercial. I'm not sure that would be what the city would be thinking. Well, obviously, it's not. You've said that we were looking at multifamily residential. Is there some way we can get more on the same page?
I don't know, I have to ask Mr. Knudsen again.
Mr. Knudsen, can you address that?
So if I understand what you're asking, that's a very difficult thing. So most of our planning practices and our recommendations and what we bring for you and what we work with developers when they come to us is based off of our planning documents. So that'd be our zoning ordinance and specifically our comprehensive plan. Comprehensive plans are a long, can be tenuous, tedious processes. They just finished theirs. They finished theirs with a lot of public input. They went all over the county. They met with our municipalities. They met with neighbors. They did a lot of meetings, and that is what they boiled it down to. So it's not to say that we can't have conversations, but the deciding, just like you are deciding council for if we are going to change a zoning, we're going to change an annexation, their county councils can be the ultimate decision. And while we can coordinate with staff all we want, the end comes down to a group that we can't really feasibly sit down and really, on every project, get their input on.
So the reason I asked that question is that it came up in a discussion that I was having with a county council member who was saying that we should be working together more on this kind of thing. And I didn't say it to that person, but I was thinking, how would we accomplish that? Based exactly on what you're saying. You don't know what council's going to do until council votes. You've got different government entities who have maybe different priorities and different planning horizons. And this is why I asked the question.
In our comprehensive plan, open communication is some of our goals to aim towards. How we're going to exactly execute that is still being determined. One of the things when we do have planning meetings and opportunities and public inputs is to go to each other's meetings. We had input into their comprehensive planning. They did not in ours. There was nothing kind of returned back to us. We did make an effort. There could be a better effort in the future, but it can be difficult too when they're planning for an entire county, and we were planning for our city, which is much smaller geographically.
Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So one other comment I'll make is I have experienced the same thing as Councilmember Kelly, and probably many or all members of council have had a lot of people who have emailed me mostly, and a couple of phone calls, who are really opposed to this, primarily based on traffic, a little bit of some other things. I read through the petition that was given to us at the last meeting. It was long. Most of it was asking really for involvement. So they've got the opportunity to do that. I hope that they avail themselves of that. But the thing that I'm struggling with is that the gut reaction people have is, no, don't do anything there. You can't do anything there because that'll bring traffic. And that's not something that we can really even legally do. The property owners have a right to enjoy their property, and if we do something that limits that enjoyment, then it puts us at risk for a taking, is what it boils down to. So I think a lot of people don't have an understanding of that, and I've tried to explain that to people, and without fail, every time I've explained it, I get back, well, yeah, that's a problem. It's not an easy decision. I would rather not add any more traffic to the snarl that we have over there. But when I hear that the county was thinking commercial, and I see a piece of property that's larger than where the Walmart sits, I think it would be an odd-shaped property to put in a Home Depot or a Lowe's, but I could imagine that kind of thing. And you want to talk about generating a lot of traffic. Not that this won't generate traffic. I don't mean that at all. I just mean that at least we know what this is going to be, and we can exercise some control over how that looks. So I personally, reluctantly, I'm in favor. Any other discussion? Councilmember Cummings?
This is one of those very difficult situations where you kind of feel, I'll just speak personally, but I believe this is a sentiment amongst most, that you're in a situation where you try to have to make the best decision possible with the information that you have available. And many of us here have been in a situation prior where we have seen a similar type project where we did not agree holistically around the idea of adding additional housing units, whether that be for rent or for sale, for the purpose that may add additional traffic, things that are associated with that. But then knowing if we say no, and we found out that if you say no, then there are authorities out there that may turn around and say yes without the additional guidance and oversight and conversation and communication with ownership and developers to say, hey, here's what we're thinking, here's what the concerned citizens are saying, here are their thoughts. Would you consider making some adjustments and changes to your project as such? We witnessed that at the last meeting where the developer came and spoke with us, had some conversations that we just recently talked about. And this is just one of those situations where it is, in my opinion, the best interest of the city to say yes so that we can have some oversight into this, whether it be something that consists in this holistic Greenville County plan where we would have no oversight as to what a project would look like. And so that has been my response to the citizens who've reached out to me in response to why you would say yes and, you know, why we wouldn't say no. And so I just want to just set on the record, this is why I'm voting yes, is so that we do have some oversight into this project versus something that could be even larger and more detrimental down the road.
Have a discussion. Councilmember Houlihan?
I would just echo what Mr. Cummings said, which is similar to what I've said at the last two meetings where we've discussed this. And I have received emails and phone calls from people as well. The primary concern, as the mayor said, being traffic. And we've discussed that at length, that there is a traffic solution coming, not as quickly as anyone wants, but it's on the calendar. It should be happening. When I explain that to people who reach out to me about that, they are much more understanding. Obviously, they also would like it to speed up and get here yesterday. But they do understand that there's a traffic solution on the horizon, which gives them a little bit better feeling about it. In addition, when I explain to them exactly what we're talking about with, we've done this before, we denied a development, and then it's turned right back around, and then exactly the thing we didn't want anyway, because the county rezoned it and let the thing we didn't want happen anyway. And so I do err on the side of I'd rather have the city of Simpsonville have control over it and be able to be part of that decision-making process. So it is a part of our job to plan for the future and to make those tough decisions about what's best for the city overall. And in this case, I would concur with Mr. Cummings that this is the appropriate decision.
Councilmember Roche?
Still leaning toward no. The comments and things that I've gotten from citizen emails, phone calls have been no. And not just because of traffic, but because of the peaceful enjoyment of their property and the fact that, you know, that could potentially be an issue. And it's long emails, long petition. So they do have a lot to say and they are organized. Which I'm all for, you know, citizens speaking up, especially when it comes to the personal properties. And I have to agree with Ms. Kelly that is who we represent. And I don't like being backed into a corner and told that I need to be fearful that if I don't say yes, then the county could do it anyway. Yes, they could, but those same citizens that I hope are listening will also take that same fervency to the county council and let their voices be heard on that level. if and when this piece of property is developed. I'll say it again, I don't have a problem with the development, I have a problem with the density. And when I spoke when I spoke by phone with the developers, I expressed that it was the density. This just seems like a lot of homes to be putting on 8 acres or 8.4 acres total. I don't think anyone, I personally wouldn't want to live that close to anybody. The traffic, obviously. That said, they came back the following week and actually added a few more homes. I think we started talking about 114, or was it 214? And then they, 117 is what we were talking about, and then they came back and said, no, we're going to do 120. So I was a little floored by that. And I did do some research on their company and find out where they built elsewhere in the United States. And I did ask in front of you all at the last meeting how long they keep their developments, because they make some pretty grand promises that they're going to be nice and they're going to, you know, hold the residents there to a certain standard and they're going to do background checks. But if you go and look at their website, the background checks, that they do a background check, but there's nothing on there saying how they, if they deny anybody. Anybody can do a background check, you know, based on credit, who gets to live there and who doesn't. That's not the kind of background check I think we're looking for. But there's no promises there whatsoever. And, you know, he spoke to the fact that they built 24, 25 of these communities, and they only own 12 of them to date. They only hang on to these for the average of 5 years. This company's from Utah. They have no other interest here other than financial. Let's just face it. They have an economic interest. They see a place on the map that's booming, that's in need of housing, and they come in and they build them and they make their profit, they sell it off and walk away. And I think our citizens deserve better than 120 of these piled on 8.4 acres. We can do better, and if the citizens are willing to go to the county and discuss this and keep this, you know, as a residential suburban zoning, there could be another nice neighborhood there with fewer homes and more green space and all the sidewalks and connectivity. I just think we can do better, and I don't like being told I need to vote yes so that I have control. The truth is we have some control, but not a lot, because zoning is the rule. And they can do anything within that zoning, as long as they stick by our ordinances that they want. And that's going to be 120 units on 8.4 acres. We're looking at traffic not being fixed for another 2 or 3 years. If nothing else, I think this buys us time to at least get closer to that SCDOT change there. That will hopefully relieve some of the traffic issue. So, based on all of that, I still intend to vote no.
All right, so if there's no further discussion, then we will move to voting on the motion. So, on the motion to approve on second reading, AXC 2021-02, proposed annexation rezoning, 2021-01, proposed annexation rezoning of property at 215 through 231 Stenhouse Road. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Okay. I think we're going to need to do a roll call vote.
Councilmember Gage?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
No.
Councilmember Houlihan?
Yes.
Councilmember Roche?
No.
Councilmember Cummings?
Yes.
Councilmember Hutchings?
No.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-3.
Thank you. On the next item, 6C, second reading of AXC 2021-02, proposed annexation rezoning of Morning Mist Farm, Phase 5 entrance. Mr. Durbin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a annexation for a small portion of the entrance to Phase 5, which is in the city. The developer had purchased a small little area that kind of connects the county to Morning Mist Lane. Per E911, they're asking this to be included in that development to kind of alleviate a potential
motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings?
Mayor and Council, I make the motion to approve on second reading AXZ-2021-02, proposed annexation, rezoning of Morning Mist Farm, Phase 5 entrance.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember Gooch to approve on second reading AXZ-2021-02, proposed annexation, rezoning of Morning Mist Farm, Phase 5 entrance. Discussion? Hearing no discussion, we'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying no. Motion is unanimous. Item 6D, second reading of AXZ-2021-03, proposed annexation rezoning of property located on Stokes Road. Mr. Derby?
Yes, sir. Location there, E3 is directly across from Linden Park. It's RS, Richmond Suburban Agreement County. The applicant is looking to have rezoned to RLO, a little over 2.5 acres. His plan is to develop it into a little small community, around 9 to 10 lots, depending on the stormwater, that number could be reduced. There would be a single drive coming in with the lots, fronting that with a possible cul-de-sac or hammerhead at the end. Nothing has changed from the last reading.
Thank you. A motion is in order. Councilmember Houlihan?
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to move that council approve on second reading AXZ-2021-03, the proposed annexation rezoning of the property located on Stokes Road.
Okay. I have a motion from Councilmember Houlihan with a second from Councilmember Hutchings to approve on second reading AXZ-2021-03. Proposed annexation rezoning of property located on Stokes Road. Discussion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Item 6E, second reading of ordinance 2021-01, general bond ordinance. Administrator Gracely, please summarize.
Thank you, Mayor and members of council. This is second and final reading of our general bond ordinance. We had a general bond ordinance that existed for prior debt issuances and thought that it was a good idea to go ahead and adopt a new general bond ordinance to govern how we issue this debt. And so that is what we are requesting with this second reading of the general bond ordinance. Our bond counsel is present. If you have any specific questions, he or I would be happy to answer them. Nothing has changed since the committee of the whole and first reading.
Thank you. The motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings?
Mayor and Council, make a motion to approve on second reading ordinance 2021-01, general bond ordinance.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember Roche to approve on second reading ordinance 2021-01, general bond ordinance. Discussion? Councilmember Houlihan?
I just in that the document that we received, the draft was originally dated on March 22nd, and it says it's been revised for May 4th. Is that just technical details? You fix a grammar error, or what happened there?
That's exactly what that is, and it's actually been revised again to May 11th. And so I think Mr. Love could probably answer specifically what those black lined items were, because his office has been doing that. Basically, when you put a public offer out, you have multiple people who are involved in the deal. You have the investment banker, you have the underwriter, you have the trustee, you have disclosure counsel, and all of those people have input into that, and so that's probably where a lot of those revisions have come into play. And we were going through a rating process too, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we get into the other two items on the agenda, but it has been a lot of work, and certainly a lot of work for Mr. Love and his colleagues as well, getting ready for this bond issuance, or these two bond issuances.
I would just appreciate if he, as the expert, would come
sure.
forward and
would you mind
explain that to us or verify it.
And I think you guys have a black line in your
packet. I don't have the black line handy, but a lot of those comments were from Underwriters Council, and it was wordsmithing. So it was changing definitions, nothing of substance. The only thing would be the additional bond system, which I can't remember if it was changed prior to first or second, and that was the 150% percentage. That was to give you a better rating with the rating agency. So if you look at that, I don't remember off the top of my head if that changed prior to first or prior to second. But it was 125% of maximum annual debt service, and now it's 150%. And so that's what the rating agencies look for to show a stronger credit. But the rest of it, a lot of it was just changing these to ands and things like that.
And so because Mr. Love mentioned the stronger credit rating, I will let you all know that we were upgraded by Moody's to a AA+ bond rating. So we're very pleased with that outcome. And S&P, I think, had not previously rated, so we are an A1.
That's Moody's. A1 is Moody's.
A1 is Moody's, or AA1 for Moody's, and A+ for S&P. It's very confusing.
They have different scales, but
they have different scales, but they mean essentially the same thing.
Since they're very confusing and have different scales and they mean essentially the same thing, perhaps you could just tell us in layman's terms what that same thing is.
So generally speaking, the top rated entity is a AAA rated entity. And so that's S&P, all capital A's, for Moody's, capital A, little A, little A. When you get down to the lower, the next category is AA. And within AA, there is AA-, AA, or AA+. That's still excellent grade rating. Moody's is the same rating, but they call themselves AA1, AA2, AA3. And it's the equivalent of AA+, AA, AA-. You guys are in the AA category on the installment purchase, and I think your split rating on the hospitality accommodation, so one of them rated you in the AA category, and the other rated you in the single A category. And for accommodation and hospitality, that's given the fact that you just came out of a pandemic and your hotels were closed for a long time. So even though your hospitality taxes stayed the same or increased slightly just because it went to curbside pickup and a lot of drive-throughs, the hotels were a lot that were hurt. And so a lot of the rating agencies are looking at tourism-related financings more strictly. And so that's why you have the split rating.
But I would like to say that that's not specific to Simpsonville. In fact, our position was very, very strong, and so we argued that point during the rating calls with both rating agencies that, you know, perhaps rather than looking at us in a bucket with the entire United States, that they could look more specifically at our financial outlook and the losses that we actually lost, revenue that we actually experienced over the past year plus. But unfortunately, they look at the industry as a whole. And typically you find that the hospitality and accommodations tax revenue bonds, those bond ratings tend to be a couple of notches off of the installment purchase revenue bond rating that we're seeing. And that's exactly what translated here. So we did get upgraded on the IPRD rating, which we're very excited about. And this is going to result in a lower interest rate for us once we price these bonds next week.
And your general obligation was upgraded. So that's kind of the ultimate, your safest bonds are your general obligation bonds, and so everything is based off of that. Your installment purchase is never going to be the same as your general obligation bonds because of the type of credit it is, but it's generally a notch or two lower, and yours was only a notch lower.
Thank you.
Sure.
Councilmember Gooch.
Thank you. Just for the public record, can you give us a brief summary for the public and whoever may be listening, what are we getting for the money?
So this is the general bond ordinance. Perhaps we could do that as we address the next two items so that we're just talking specifically about those two issuances.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? On the motion to approve on second reading of ordinance 2021-01, general bond ordinance, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Item 6F, second reading of ordinance 2021-02, first supplemental ordinance. Administrator Gracely.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Sorry, I'm doing double duty over here tonight, so I'm a little slow. The first supplemental bond ordinance is the next item you have before you, and that is the ordinance that deals specifically with the bond issuance for the hospitality and accommodations tax revenue bonds. And so, Mr. Gooch, you asked the question about what we're getting for this money. This is a not-to-exceed $18 million bond issuance. It does not mean that we have $18 million to spend, unfortunately, because about $3 million of this is refunding existing bond debt that already exists on this revenue stream. So it's set at not to exceed $18 million based on the cost of issuance, the refunding of the bonds, and what we hope to net out of the bond issuance, which is approximately $14 million. If we do well on the pricing next week, which we hope we will, better than the estimates that I gave you back when we did the retreat and when we initially talked about this at Committee of the Whole, those are very conservative interest rates that we were using. So what we're hoping is that we can have the same payment structure that I presented to you earlier, but be able to net a little bit more of bond proceeds out of the issuance. And again, we won't know that until the pricing occurs next week. And then the closing is set for June 1st. So what you get for that roughly $14 million that we're going to net for this bond issuance are the projects that you all prioritized at the retreat. Specifically improvements to downtown regarding the flow of traffic, particularly at Main and Curtis and Main and College to alleviate some of the traffic backup that we have. Streetscape improvements, street lighting improvements, Festival Street on South Main Street, improvements to City Park, and an extension of the Swan Private Trail from the terminus now out to Heritage Park. And those are a lot of projects, and we have a very finite amount of money, so we are in the process now of sifting through submittals for the design team, and once we have design teams in place to actually design these projects and put a cost estimate to them, we'll have a better idea of exactly how many of these projects we'll be able to accomplish with that finite amount of money.
So, I'm lost. Where are we now?
Motion is in order.
Councilmember Kelly.
I make a motion that we approve on second reading of Ordinance 2021-02, First Supplemental Ordinance.
Right. I have a motion from Councilmember Kelly with a second from Councilmember Hutchings to approve on second reading Ordinance 2021-02, First Supplemental Ordinance. Discussion? Councilmember Gooch.
Now I'll ask some other questions. So what does this do to us as far as bond indebtedness? Are we borrowing the maximum amount we can run out and get?
No, not even close.
Good.
So we'll still have more than two times coverage mm-hmm. for all the years. As we were going through the rating process with Moody's and S&P, that's one of the things that they look at very specifically is where are you on your revenue stream and your bond indebtedness, and what is your coverage? And so we are over two times coverage on being able to repay the bond debt and still have additional revenue left over. So, and we're very conservative in our approach because just like we learned this year with COVID, you never know what could come next. None of us saw the pandemic coming when it happened, and of course, we had revenue loss as a result, so we wanted to make sure we're in a very strong financial position and we're not over borrowing. It would be nice if we had a $20 million, you know, finite bucket of money rather than roughly $14 million, but unfortunately, you know, we do have capacity limits, and although we could go up, we want to be very mindful and very frugal of, you know, these public dollars and not overextend the city. And again, you as a council, you are all serving right now, but as your terms come up for expiration, you may decide to not run again, you may run again. There may be other people in your seats at some point, and so you don't want to obligate the city for long-term debt, which leaves future councils without the ability to borrow money for projects that they may want to do. So that's another reason why we were very mindful of all of those factors when we were determining the amount of money we wanted to borrow for this particular bond issue.
And we have refinanced bonds in the past, and we're adding some refinancing into this one. And the reason for that is, I, I assume this is just for public record and knowledge, that we're saving money by doing so.
We are saving money. Well, at least we anticipate that we'll be saving money. I think the interest rate on the last bond issue was roughly 1.76, and we expect to get a much better interest rate than that. But also just to combine all of that into one single payment rather than have two separate bond payments. And that was a bank placement. This is a public deal. So as we're refunding those bank placement bonds, all of this will be placed, all of these will be placed on the public market.
And this will also allow us to issue the new general obligation bond, general bond ordinance, which allows you to have the more restrictive additional bonds test, which helps on your credit rating, which then helps on your lower interest rate. So it kind of all feeds in together.
All right. And the one thing you mentioned was some of the traffic control we're looking for downtown. I've had a lot of questions about one-way streets or not doing this plan. It's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, we do not have a set plan in place yet. We have a lot of study left to do, and there may be multiple options on the table. Is that right or wrong?
That is absolutely a fair statement.
Okay.
Because we do not have a design team yet. All we have are, you know, discussions that we've had with DOT about what can help alleviate the traffic that we're experiencing now. They believe that's the best model, but it still requires multiple public input meetings. It requires input from whoever we hire to design these projects for us. There may be multiple other alternatives presented, and all of that will come much later on. So that probably leads me into a point that I need to make now, and that is, why are we issuing the debt now then rather than waiting until we're further down the road? And the answer to that question is, we have a market that we expect to start improving, and with market improvements, we would expect the borrowing interest rates to go up. And so that's the reason we decided to expedite the borrowing component and go ahead and close these issuances on June 1st rather than pushing them out to later in the year or early next year, because we know right now rates are at an all-time low, and we are expecting those to increase steadily over the coming months.
So what I hear you saying is as to traffic plans, we don't have a set plan in place.
Correct.
We have options. Correct. We can probably get more options.
Correct.
The public will have input.
Absolutely.
As much as they want.
Yes.
Okay. And all told, with all these projects, once we have a settled plan on each one, how long do you anticipate it taking to implement all this work? Rough guess.
We had our first selection committee meeting on Friday morning for design teams to lead all of these projects. We're interviewing those firms next week. Council will not entertain those contracts or those recommendations from the selection committee until next month. And then you're looking at probably 8 to 10 months on design and public input, and then the actual construction starting sometime in early 22, so 24 months, so I think is reasonable.
I'm hearing you say not very fast.
Relatively quickly considering how fast government normally works.
For government, yes. But enough time for everybody to have a say and know about it.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Councilmember Kelly.
Okay, so I know the traffic's proposed, but this is the one thing I've had lots of questions on. And refresh my memory, Curtis would be going towards the clock tower if it were done. No, other way. So College goes towards Main.
Yes. What's being proposed right now is west to east on Curtis and east to west on College. The reason being two things. One, it gives better access to existing businesses to do it that way. It's the minimal impact to the businesses that are located along that corridor. And two, it eliminates that very tricky right turn from Curtis onto Main that tends to take out awnings and parts of buildings with large tractor trailers. So there are a couple of reasons why that way works better from the city standpoint. But again, those things are going to be considered in multiple different ways before a final decision is made.
Any further discussion? On On the motion to approve on second reading of ordinance 2021-02, first supplemental ordinance, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed signify by saying no. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. May I just ask for the record, because I'm doing double duty and lost my place, who made the second on that motion?
The
motion was Ms. Kelly. Second was Mr. Hutchings. Thank you. My apologies.
Okay. Item 6G, second reading of ordinance number 2021-03, installment purchase revenue bonds. Administrator Gracely.
Thank you, Mayor, and members of council. So this is the bond issuance that will pay for our new municipal facilities, which would be City Hall and police, probably combined in one building, and a new fire department headquarters, all located somewhere along the periphery of City Park on property that we currently own. This would be a not, I apologize.
Go ahead.
This would be a not to exceed $14 million bond issue, again, to cover the cost of issuance and the possibility of a lower interest rate that could net us additional capital to put into the project, but the payment terms being the same that were already presented to you prior.
Okay. Councilmember Cummings?
I make a motion, Mayor, I make a motion to pass on second reading of ordinance 2021-03, installment purchase revenue bonds.
A motion from Councilmember Cummings with a second from Councilmember Hutchings to approve on second reading ordinance number 2021-03, installment purchase revenue bonds. Discussion? Councilmember Gooch.
Just for clarification and for the record, are we raising taxes?
We are not.
We're not going to, how are we making?
Would you like me to expand on
absolutely. That? Absolutely. Next question.
So we have some existing general obligation bond debt that we have been paying for the previous years in each budget. That gets paid, that gets budgeted. In fact, we have first reading of our budget ordinance coming up soon. So what we have been paying in GO debt already, when we look at issuing this new debt with the interest payment and the principal coming on in FY23, it's essentially, well, I hate to say essentially the same. It's not. It's about $150,000 more than our current debt load for this fiscal year. So what I'm saying is we have a placeholder already for a certain amount of money that pays GO bond debt. When we issue this new debt, some of that existing GO bond debt falls off because the term is expiring on the debt. You know, so most of those GO bonds are typically 5 years or less. And so as some of those debts fall off and we add this new debt, what we're looking at is just a slight increase in the placeholder that we currently have in the budget to pay bonded indebtedness. So we are adding a little bit of an increase to the bond payment, but because of the other debt that's coming off, it's a very insignificant amount of money, and we believe that we can account for that in the budget and already have for the FY22 budget that will be before you shortly.
So these funds will be used for a new police headquarters?
City Hall.
New City Hall.
Fire Department headquarters.
Fire Department headquarters. And how does the courthouse get into all this? Who's responsible for that?
So I have spoken with the county administrator, and as he is presenting his budget to his council, he is including $3 million for the construction of a consolidated summer court building, which is the same building they built in Travelers Rest several years ago. They just completed that building in Taylor's, and this would be the final of the consolidated summer court buildings that the county has been building as part of their overall plan to eliminate the requirement of leasing property. You know, currently our summer court in Simpsonville is over on Maple in a leased building, and so the county has been working toward owning all of the buildings for their consolidated summer courts throughout the county, and they're placing them in strategic locations that make sense for them. And the benefit to us is that they offered, if we allot them property on which to build the building, they would provide space for our municipal court personnel to occupy that office space, which eliminates the need to build a room like this that's set up for court proceedings, because they will be building that. So our municipal court personnel will be moving into that facility, which will be located adjacent to the new city hall. So we're all still very close together. And the other thing, the other benefit that we get from that is that I can't tell you how many times a day people come in here to pay a traffic ticket that belongs at Summary Court. It's not a City of Simpsonville traffic citation. And so then they have to explain to them where Summary Court is and send them on their way. So this way, there are a lot of efficiencies, because if people are coming in and you know, they may just walk to the wrong side of the lobby and get directed to the right side of the lobby.
You're going to stick around long enough to see this project complete?
I hope so.
All right, thank you.
And this bond is one you guys have never done before. So most of the time you've done general obligation bonds or hot shot tax bonds. So this installment purchase, you guys are not the actual issuer. The nonprofit corporation that you're going to approve later will be the issuer. What you do is you pay the installment payments to the corporation, who then assigns them to the trustee. And so that state law mechanism allows you to issue this debt by the corporation and it doesn't count against your debt limit. So if you're wondering about your 8% and how this fits in, it doesn't apply in this case.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Mr. President, we have on the agenda tonight the proposal for the selection of an architect for the municipal buildings. Should that pass, could you give us a brief synopsis of the process and timeline for the project from there?
Sure. So we're a little bit further along with this process than the previous one we discussed for the downtown master planning. The selection committee has already met. They've interviewed firms and have a recommendation to make to council tonight for the firm that will design these new buildings, which means if council votes in the affirmative tonight, then tomorrow I can negotiate the fee with the architect for that service and get them started on designing these public buildings. Still probably close to a two-year process, because we don't want to rush them through the design. They're going to meet with all of the folks here at City Hall. They'll meet with the command staff at the police department, patrol, dispatch. They'll meet with Chief Williams to go over his needs for the fire department headquarters. So they'll do a pretty extensive space needs assessment before they even start putting design to paper. I would imagine their design process is somewhere in the 6-month range to get ready to have construction drawings and ready to start turning dirt and seeing some buildings going up.
Just as Councilmember Gooch likes to say, for the record, these words weren't specifically said out loud, but when you say fire department headquarters, that's also station one, right?
Correct.
Right. Headquarters and station one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion? On the motion to approve second reading of ordinance 2021-03, installment purchase revenue bonds, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed signify by saying no. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Administrator Gracely. Mr. Love. Next item, 6H, resolution number 2021-02, zoning ordinance. Our Planning and Economic Development Director, Jason Knudsen, will summarize.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As we're all aware, as we've been growing, certain businesses under a certain theme of automotive sales, repair, and whatnot have been kind of dominating our scene lately. What staff is asking is for council to pass a resolution tonight with the direction for the Planning Commission to review our current zoning ordinance and see what changes may need to be made, make a recommendation to council to help kind of maybe mitigate some of the negative effects we're seeing. The reason we're asking this to be done instead of just doing a text amendment like normal and kind of bringing it to you is by passing this resolution, it'll give staff the ability to place a hold on any requests for these items. A specific example, which I'd really love to be able to hold, is you may be familiar with the title-owned big yellow building up the street. Somebody wants to do half of that as a car wash. So we don't right now have the ability to say no. So in dire kind of, we're already in the works. I'm already working on distance requirements and kind of putting together this text amendment to go to our planning commission next month to start the process. But as you know, there's multiple readings and things that take, so this could be a 3 to 4 month process before we can really be done with it. So we're really requesting this resolution to help staff to be able to kind of put a hold on things so we can get our bearings, get the text amendments in place so that we can better plan for our fabric of our city.
Thank you, Mr. Knudsen. A motion is in order. Councilmember Kelly.
I vote in favor of resolution 2021-02 zoning ordinance.
In the point of order?
Yes.
Would you restate your motion, please? Councilmember Kelly.
Yeah. Let's see here. I vote we approve resolution.
I move
that we approve resolution 2021-02 zoning ordinance.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Kelly with a second from Councilmember Roche to approve resolution number 2021-02 zoning ordinance. Discussion? Councilmember Glenn.
Yes. Please put a hold on any more car washes until we can come up with a better long-term strategy for how many car washes we really need to have, where they should be, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's probably the smartest thing I've heard this year. So, thank you.
We're in agreement.
What she said.
Councilmember Roche.
Well, this, okay, so the way the wording is right now, it's auto, what was it, motor vehicle and auto?
Sales and service of motor vehicles and parts, which entails all sorts of things.
Okay, so under that umbrella, can we also then, not just the car wash thing or the title loans, but can we have some sort of pace control over used car lots, auto supply stores? We've always been the Golden Strip, right? But we used to have actual places you could buy cars. Now you can just come here and get them washed and buy parts for them and more parts for them. It's becoming the thing on Main Street. And I hate to pick on one type of business, but...
The way it's kind of playing out as I'm putting this ordinance together is... more of like your oil change, tire place, brake places, other, you know, accessory type places, your auto sales, rentals would all kind of still fall under that with maybe some distance requirements. Gas stations maybe pulled out as a separate category. Auto supply stores maybe pulled out as a separate category. Just so we can better, because it's so encompassing right now, we're trying to regulate all sorts of different businesses with different nuances. And so we may need to kind of pull that out a little bit more so we're more specific to these uses, and that's kind of the way it's going right now.
So this is just a resolution. We're not changing ordinance at this point, and we're not changing zoning or anything like that. We're just...
That's correct.
That's alluding.
You're giving direction for us to be looking at this very specifically.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Is the goal of this to have better control over the categories of businesses, the style of the businesses, the redundancy of businesses, all of those things, or none of those things?
It could be absolutely all of the above. So we'll take this to Planning Commission by what the resolution states us to do, and we'll have conversations with them, kind of see what everyone feels is the best. At the end of the day, it will come back to you as a text amendment, which you can see what the direction staff and the Planning Commission are kind of giving.
So if a business has a proposal for a piece of property and they fit the zoning, we would still have some control over whether or not we approve that particular business for that property. Is that my understanding?
For now, yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Councilmember Roche?
And just as one more matter of discussion, I'm kind of wondering if, you know, as we're doing this downtown master plan and we're redesigning, you know, what we would like Center City to look like and feel like, if we shouldn't make the conversation and the changes be more broad as to cover proximity for all businesses. so that we don't have a cluster of one type in any general area. Just a thought.
We take that into consideration.
Further discussion? I'll just add one comment that I have many constituents who, as far as the redundancy aspect of automotive businesses, would really appreciate this, looking into this. All right, on the motion to approve resolution 2021-02, zoning ordinance, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, signify by saying no.
No.
The vote is 6-1. Did you get the record there, Mr. Grisley? Thank you. Item 6I, first reading of AXZ 2021-04, proposed annexation rezoning of properties at 1007 Neely Ferry Road. Mr. Derby?
Thanks, sir. Councilman, this is a first reading for three parcels on Stenhouse. Neely Ferry Road is down from the prior annexation of the road on Stenhouse. This is currently residential suburban, approximately 9.4 acres. The applicants are looking to have this rezoned to R high, zoning high density for the purpose of developing approximately 60 townhome units. This will be single family. Nothing has changed from the last reading. Just kind of go over some slides of the location. This does abut the Cedars to the east. Again, I'm going to go back over the comp plan with the Greenville County. This one here is designated in that circle, yellow. That is what is consistent with what we have as a neighborhood. Greenville County has this on their comp plan, future land use map, as suburban neighborhood. The primary land use for Greenville County is single family detached, single family attached. Let's be in line. Tonight with this annexation, but just with the city. Nothing has changed from the whole meeting. I'll be glad to answer any questions you might have.
A motion is in order. Councilmember Houlihan?
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to move that council approve on first reading, AXZ-2021-04, the proposed annexation rezoning of the properties at 1007 Neely Ferry Road. Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Houlihan with a second from Councilmember Roche to approve on first reading, AXZ-2021-04, proposed annexation rezoning of properties at 1007 Neely Ferry Road. Discussion? Mr. Derby, Councilmember Roche.
I'm having a hard time getting my document to open. The internet just all of a sudden took a pause. How many acres was this?
A little over 9.4.
That's what I thought. Thank you very much.
Make sure that.
Mr. Derby, under the planning recommendation of the county, they're recommending it be residential. What's the density of that zoning?
Do not have that information, the exact what their density requirement.
It would be less than what this proposal is. Can we safely assume that?
No, I can't. I mean, I can research that for you, but their zoning and I go off what they have, RS, R12, those kind of go off the lot sizes. RS right now is something we really can't compare to, the fact that there are setbacks and sizes depicts on how it fronts certain roads. Certain arterial roads and collector roads require certain size of setbacks and lot sizes, so it's kind of hard to compare what's RS to something with the city. But this is a pretty large tract, so the units is kind of small at that size.
Further discussion? On the motion to approve on first reading, AXZ 2021-04, proposed annexation rezoning of properties at 1007 Neely Ferry Road, All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying no. No. 6-1. Okay, item 6J, first reading of ordinance number 2021-04, amendment to chapter 28, article 4 of the Simpsonville Code of Ordinance, Baileyville. Mr. Knudsen?
Thank you. As mentioned in the committee of the whole meeting, what's being proposed is to be able to remove language within our Baileyville ordinance, which is the chapter section just mentioned, and the only changes found in two parts of our current ordinance, and it's the same kind of wording being removed, and that's prior to the commencement of any work or prior to beginning work. The point of this is preliminary certification is required for them to go forward with receiving the tax abatement known as the Baileyville. We currently have it where if they conduct any work prior to that certification, they are eliminated from being able to use that abatement. And we would definitely be a disservice to do that. People do things accidentally all the time. We may have a project that starts, they don't even know about the Baileyville. We bring it to their attention, started, sorry, you can no longer continue with it. And it's a good program for us to be able to help rehabilitate historic properties. It's all based off the property being historic. So it does kind of preserve some of our character in the city. So staff sees that as a good opportunity for us. So we are proposing that that language, as marked in the ordinance that was given to you, be removed.
Motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings.
Mayor and Council, I make a motion to approve on first reading ordinance 2021-04, amendment to Chapter 28, Article 4 of the Simpsonville Code of Ordinance, Baileyville.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with the second from Councilmember Houlihan to approve the first reading of Ordinance 2021-04, amendment to Chapter 28, Baileyville. Discussion? Hearing no discussion, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Item 6K, first reading of ordinance number 2021-05 for budget for fiscal year 2021 through 2022. Administrator Gracely, please summarize.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. As we discussed at last month's committee of the whole, we are presenting to you a balanced budget for FY22 that includes no tax increase, no fee increase. I'll hit some of the highlights of the budget for you. We have included in this implementation of phase two of our compensation plan, which brings all city staff to their compensation ratios based on their experience levels and years of service with the city. That would be effective July 1. It also includes a 4% cost of living increase for all staff effective October 1st. There is a 5% increase on our Blue Cross Blue, well, it's Blue Choice health insurance plan, which is a very, very low renewal percentage, the lowest I've ever seen in my career as a city administrator. It continues funding for Proactive MD, which is free primary health care for all of our employees. It continues to include $250,000 toward road resurfacing that is used as matching funds for the County Transportation Committee Municipal Match Program. No borrowing from fund balance or the general fund. And then the budget ordinance does also establish a capital improvement fund, which is something new, where any surplus of revenues over expenditures, 75% of those dollars would go into a capital improvement fund, which would be limited to capital items for future. That helps us pay for some of the items that we listed in our 10-year capital improvement plan. Those things are often very difficult to fund through an operating budget every year. You also have a budget summary in front of you that mentions some of the capital purchases that are included in this budget. We were able to accommodate most of the requests that the department has made for capital purchases. I do want to mention that we are, with the FY22 budget, forging new ground with our Public Works Enterprise Fund. There is now an operating budget for the Public Works Enterprise Fund because we will be hiring staff to take over sanitation services for the city, so we'll be able to do that in-house. And that includes 7 additional personnel, CDL licensed drivers for the sanitation trucks, as well as general laborers. I think those are the main highlights I want to mention. Most everything else is just our standard. They either remain the same or various slight increases for specific budget items for operating expenses. I think I've covered the majority of the major items included, but happy to answer any questions. Nothing has changed since we presented this at committee of the whole. This is first reading of the FY22 budget. Second and final reading will be scheduled for the business meeting next month.
Motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council approve on first reading ordinance 2021-05 budget for fiscal year 2021-2022.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Houlihan to approve on first reading ordinance number 2021-05, budget for fiscal year 2021 through 2022. Discussion? Councilmember Houlihan.
I don't have much new to say or ask since the committee of the whole. Got a lot of answers then. But I would just like to point out and emphasize and thank you for the work on the fact that this budget does get to some of the long-term priorities that those of us have been on council for a while now have really wanted to see happen, with the compensation for employees and getting that up to par. Being able to see that come to fruition with this budget, it's really nice. The capital improvement fund, thank goodness that that's finally there. I know that several of my council members will agree back in 2016, we're a little horrified by the lack of planning for long-term capital purchases that got us into some difficult situations where we had to make hard choices. And so to know that we have now gotten into a much better place financially and have prepared better for the future so that we will have this fund and that future councils will not be presented with those same issues is a really good feeling for me personally as a member of council. And that enterprise fund for the public works, I think, is another just solid example of the good long-term planning that we're doing now and that this budget accomplishes. And so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Councilmember Gooch.
I just want to thank you and staff for, again, for all the work you do on the budget and bringing the ideas to us and listening to what we have to say and implementing as much as you can into the budgets and creating a process that is no longer onerous and horrifying and daunting. It used to be truly horrible, and when you came on board, it really changed a lot, and it has been a much better process. Maybe tougher on you guys, but you really do present it to us in a way that is much more digestible than it used to be. It used to be endless hours of sitting, looking at it line by line, and staff and department heads coming saying, we need. It's just so much better. And you actually get what you're looking for now, as opposed to council trying to figure out what do you really need. And I just appreciate how the process has changed. And I think everybody's happier in general, at least on staff and our department heads. I can't speak for council, I know I'm happier about it. But it is a much better process. Thank you for fixing it and making it better. Just thank you.
Councilmember Hutchins?
I just want to echo what both of my fellow council members just stated. This is a very meticulously crafted budget, and it covers a lot of those things that we have had on our wish list for a long time, and really appreciate the work that you put into this. And it's easy to understand the numbers and the format that you use. It makes budgeting a little bit more palatable. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And I do want to take the opportunity, she's not here tonight, but to thank Director Farina, Christine Farina, who's our finance director, who does an amazing job of helping me put this budget together. We sit in a room for hours and hours and take the requests that come in department by department, and we put them in, and we always start very far off from, you know, revenues and expenses, and somehow we manage to pull that together and provide a balanced budget, and I could not do that without her expertise and assistance.
Councilmember Roche.
Everything they said, and I echo, thank you for giving us a product, a budget that we could be proud to present to the taxpayers of Simpsonville. You make us look good, and we appreciate that. I'd also like to say that I really appreciate the care that you take to take care of our city staff and make sure that they have those pay increases on time and that their medical needs are met with insurance and all those good things. You stretch that dollar and make it cover everything and everybody. So, commendable. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Houlihan?
I do have something else to say. You know, every day I hear from people who live here and who visit here and look around and talk about the amazing things that are happening in this city. And you might look around and think, wow, this must be costing us a pretty penny. I bet they're going to be increasing their taxes. And are we increasing anyone's taxes?
We are not.
Okay. Thank you.
Just echo each council member's comments and then also confirm that in the time that I spend at City Hall, such as it is, I have seen the time that you and Director Farina have put in the room together and multiple occasions. I know how much work you put into it, so it's very much appreciated. And not been here until the last year to see the change in the process, but I've been through many budgeting processes in my career, and I just want to confirm what Councilmember Gooch is saying, that it's well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? On the motion to approve on first reading ordinance 2021-05, budget fiscal year 2021 through 2022, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. On item 6L, approval of the Milltown Flayers lease agreement, I'm going to move that to the last item of the business agenda if there is no objection for reasons that will become apparent here when we reach that item. Any objections? Thank you. Item 6M, the selection committee recommendation for architect for Simpsonville Municipal Buildings. Administrator Gracely, summarize, please.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. You'll give me just a moment. I have to stay organized. Okay. So, as I mentioned earlier in our discussion of the installment purchase revenue bonds, we are a little bit further ahead in the process of hiring the design team to help design and manage the construction of our new public facilities, our municipal facilities. And so what I'm bringing to you tonight is a recommendation of the selection committee. The selection committee was made up of Mayor Shoemaker. Initially, Ms. Roche helped narrow the field, and then Mr. Hutchings stepped in to help with interviews when she was unavailable. I served on that committee as well as Chief Hanshaw and Chief Williams. I thought it was important to have a committee making the decision on the design team made up of people who would actually be part of working very closely with the architectural firm that we ultimately select for that. After receiving submittals from six firms as a result of our request for qualifications that was put out shortly after our retreat, we narrowed that down to two firms to interview. Those firms were DP3 Architects and Stuart Cooper and Newell. Stuart Cooper and Newell is probably a name that's familiar to you because they design fire stations 4, 5, and 6. DP3 is also probably familiar to you because they design and are currently managing construction oversight for the Art Center renovation. They've also done a couple small projects. They did the restroom facility in the alleyway in Hunter's Alley. And they are also doing structural analysis of the Tater Shed for us so that we can make improvements to that building. After the interviews were completed, the selection committee deliberated, and it was, we all agreed that we could not go wrong with either firm. They were both very well qualified, extensive experience in these types of facilities. I can't speak for the entire committee. Perhaps Mr. Hutchings or Mayor Shoemaker would want to add, but I think the difference for us was that one firm did have experience building municipal facilities on the periphery of a park environment and really being able to integrate those buildings seamlessly into the park, which is very important. We don't want to take away any of the beauty of City Park. We really want to be able to enhance it and add to the experience that people find there. And so ultimately, the selection committee is recommending to you all that we hire DP3 architects to do the design of these facilities for us.
Motion is in order. Councilmember Gooch.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I move we accept the recommendation of the administrator of the committee to our DP3 architects for the municipal buildings in Simpsonville.
I have a motion from Councilmember Gooch with a second from Councilmember Hutchings to approve the selection of DP3 as the architect for Simpsonville Municipal Buildings. Discussion? Councilmember Gooch?
Thank you. One thing you did mention that I'm glad you hit on. It is important to me personally that these buildings do look like they belong there and that they do enhance what we're going to do over there. I know they can't do it quickly, but how soon do you think we can see at least some kind of rendering or idea of what they have so we can start, hopefully not picking it apart, but so we can get an understanding of what their vision is and we can get our minds around what's going to happen?
I'll ask Mayor Shoemaker or Mr. Hutchings to elaborate on this, but I do want to mention that DP3 did already give us some idea of placement of the buildings. And it was an idea that we had not really thought about, and that was that because of the art center and the library, the old library building being on Academy Street, and then the park being sort of the rest of it with the current police and fire on the edge there at Academy and East Curtis, they are saying that they believe it's a better option to move those buildings further east on the property, closer to Village Park Apartments. And then that would open up the park to the public view, where now the park is hidden a little bit. We could actually have a true entrance to the park near the intersection of Academy and East Curtis. And we were all one way, for lack of a better term, by that concept that we could have a cultural and arts presence, the park presence, and then the municipal complex more on the edge of the property than we had originally thought about when we all discussed it. And so, you know, that's the kind of expertise that we were looking for to help guide that. So that's not exactly your question, but they did have an idea that we had not considered. So having said that, now they can start looking at the footprints of those buildings in those locations to make sure that it will work. And that makes it easier for their team to start putting designs on paper. I mentioned earlier the assessments that they'll do where they're talking to the end users of these facilities and trying to get some space needs. We've also talked about the need to not have a courtroom type setting in the new City Hall because that will be accommodated in this consolidated summary court building. So we're looking at some creative options for how to create a dais for council and perhaps two conference rooms that could open up to one big conference room if we have a larger crowd at council so that we get some dual purpose out of that room and they could be functional conference rooms during the day and then double as council chambers at night. So all of that to say that, you know, I'm sure I've not told anyone who the recommendation was before now. I mean, this is on public record for the first time. So DP3 is not aware that we're going to be engaging them for this project. I'll need to do that in the morning. And I know that we did ask the question about their schedule, and they indicated that they have a lot of projects that are in construction right now, which is the part where they get to sit back and relax a little bit, because the most labor-intensive part for them is the design, obviously. So they're in a good place to be able to start designing this rather quickly for us. I'm hopeful maybe in 4 to 5 months to have something that you all can look at.
So just, I'm sorry, go ahead, Councilmember Hutchings.
First of all, I just want to thank Ms. Brochet for asking me to sit in for her at the final interview process for the two finalists. And this was quite an experience for me. As you alluded, both of these candidates were excellent, but we felt like this particular candidate was the best for the particular project that we were working on here. Some things that we discussed was the historical buildings that are in the vicinity and how we wanted to kind of keep the architecture in keeping with that. They get it because they've already been working on some of these projects with us. So that was a thing. And then, as Ms. Gracie alluded to, I've sat in hours and hours of master planning sessions about this concept, and nobody ever mentioned this particular idea. And when we did, it was just like a light bulb went off of everybody's head, is to keep the park together, not split it like we had talked about doing it one time, and moving the whole complex down further down the street. So that was just an eye-opener for everyone, I think, and that really convinced, I think, me and others that was the group that had what we needed in mind. I feel really good about this. I think we're going to get an excellent product in the end.
Thank you, Councilmember Hutchings. I'm going to step in and make comments before we go to other discussion, just to echo what Administrator Gracely and Councilmember Hutchings have said. One thing that really stood out, and Councilmember Hutchings has kind of explained it, is that it was a vision that these people had, that DP3 has, that was something that we hadn't thought of. But I also liked that they were also very careful to say, that's an idea, but please keep an open mind. We may come up with a better idea. And I just think that they brought something else to the table that maybe some of the other candidates didn't. Everybody that submitted was very well qualified, but these folks, this kind of, for me, it was an epiphany what they suggested. And going down there to the park and looking at what they suggested and imagining how that would be, which I did over the weekend, if this idea works, it will be quite remarkable. And I think that they deserve the nod based on that. Councilmember Houlihan?
So you indicated that DP3 has experience in building or designing a municipal type building in a park-like setting. Could you tell me what that is? So maybe I could Google it and try to get a vision in my own head.
I can take you to it.
Okay.
I was actually part of that process. They did that in the City of Travel Trust for us. Trailblazer Park was built in 2014, and then the fire station was built in 2015-16. City Hall came shortly thereafter. Those buildings are located on the periphery of that park, and really the way they designed the fire station, particularly from the backside, and City Hall and police, so that the less desirable uses are not seen from the public view. You know, they do a really good job of integrating that design into the park so that you see a lot of green space, you see attractive buildings, but you don't really notice things like a sally port for the police department, for instance, or, you know, the bay doors are very attractive. So it looks like a really nice aesthetic versus just a big, industrial type use of that facility. And so that is where it's Trailblazer Park and Travel Dress. And there's a really nice aerial that you could probably find on the City of Travel Dress website that would show you that.
Councilmember Gooch?
I was speaking, Mr. President.
Councilmember Roche?
I was just going to say, do we still have some of the renderings that they gave us in their booklets initially when we were narrowing it down, their presentation booklets of other municipal buildings that they had done?
So I do have those. They're in my office if anyone would like to see them.
Councilmember Gooch?
Thank you. I meant to say this earlier when we were talking about the bonds and what we're getting for the money. One of the reasons that we are adding these buildings and we're actually taking down buildings we have now, the police and the fire department, specifically building one in the police headquarters, have come to the end of their useful life. So for those who are listening or maybe listening in the future, those buildings, like they're like a car, they're like any depreciable asset, it wastes, and we've outgrown them. Fire department in particular, that building was put up in the 1960s, I believe, or 1970s. The gentleman who worked there and who served every day to protect us, they're sleeping on bunk beds and they bring sleeping bags in. The facilities are just not adequate. We cannot even buy the equipment when we buy fire trucks that will fit that building. So the equipment has changed over the years so that we have to make new accommodation for what's actually available. The fire department, in addition to that, the police department has other issues for water infiltration. It no longer accommodates our needs for modern policing and what we're trying to accomplish with our staff. And then City Hall itself has issues. So these buildings, when they planned those buildings 50 years ago, they were great. So we're planning for probably the next 50 to 75 years. When we're all gone, somebody else had that problem 50 to 75 years. But these buildings, it's time to replace them. They have really come to the end of their useful life. And you're still going to council, baby. You're welcome. They're all laughing. You're welcome to go council 50 years.
They're all dead gone.
I didn't say dead and gone. I said gone. So you're welcome to be here in 50 years if you want to be.
Do my best.
There's no implication of dying, just maybe not being here. But that is the reason we're doing this. And it's not just because we want to spend money or because we want to see a pretty building or want our name on it. These things need to be replaced, and they have just come to the end of their useful life, and we need to work towards the future so that future generations and future councils and future administrators and future staff have somewhere they can actually functionally work as opposed to just getting by, and it will actually make us more productive and make us better servants to the city.
Councilmember Houlihan?
To sort of play off of that a little bit, we talked earlier about the compensation for employees, and Ms. Roche had mentioned thank you so much for the work that you have done with our employees, making them feel valued and giving them what they need to be successful. And this is just another example of that need and being able to give them that, because not only do they need certain things in order to be able to do their jobs, but also I think that the place that we're in Simpsonville is that every one of our employees should feel proud to go to work every day, should walk into a building and work in a space where they say, this is Simpsonville, this is simply home, and this is where I work. And they haven't had that for a long time, struggling with inefficient facilities. Boy, if we don't have some water problems in that police department, that building has been reconfigured in so many different ways. It's like a weird maze of some sort. So it really did it. So I think it's really, really important to the employees to have a place where they can feel good about going to work and where that helps helps them to do their jobs better. So I think that's really important too.
Councilmember Hutchings?
I just want to say, adding to what Mr. Gooch said, if we implement some of the things that they brought forward, we're not just replacing these buildings, we're enhancing the elements of the building. So there'll be a lot of things there that will help us to train our people better, and a lot of it can be done on site, whereas we've had some people away to other places in the past. The other thing that stuck in my mind was the fire department. They talked about it being a home because the firefighters spend a lot of time there, they live there. So they're going to take that into consideration too and make it a much more inviting environment. I just feel like that this group will think way into the future. So we'll have a facility that can be expandable, and also that we're addressing those training issues and the environment itself.
Councilmember Campbell?
Very brief, because we're getting towards the end. Two things that I've heard and realized in my life is you need two things, authority and resources, to be successful in any job that you do. You've done with the pay structure that, Jen, I know, has been a big part of pushing for, and that you have done, and all the resources and the empowerment that they have now, I think is huge. And I do think, because I know first year you were here, we discussed morale. So I think they feel empowered now, and I hope that they do. And I think this is just the next step to giving them not just pretty, you know, aesthetically pretty things, you know, places to go to work, but the resources that they actually need to be successful. So so thank you. I just think this is going to be a very, very good thing for the town.
Further discussion? On the motion to approve the selection committee recommendation of DP3 as the architect for the Simpsonville Municipal Buildings, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying no. The motion carries unanimously. Item 6N, resolution number 2021-03 to establish and appoint members to the Simpsonville Municipal Facilities Corporation. Administrator Gracely.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. As Mr. Love indicated earlier, in doing our installment purchase revenue bond issuance, we are required, because of the structure of that bond issuance, to create a municipal facilities corporation, which serves as the entity that will actually sign the bond documents at closing. And in order to do that, we need to have members of the board. So what we're asking here through this resolution is that council establish the Simpsonville Municipal Facilities Corporation and also appoint the board of directors to that corporation. I was charged with finding some folks to recommend to you all that we put on that board. Who would understand what we're doing with this bond issue and what their role is. And so as part of this resolution, it's not included. There are blank lines for the board members, but I will tell you who I have spoken with, and they have all graciously agreed to serve in that capacity. Serge Gillian, J.S. Curtis, and Hunter Howard III have all agreed to serve as on the board of directors for the Municipal Facilities Corporation.
Thank you. Motion is in order. Councilmember Gooch.
Thank you. I move we accept Resolution 2021-03 to establish and appoint members to the Simpsonville Municipal Facilities Corporation and to appoint the members as recommended by the city administrator.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilmember Gooch with a second by Councilmember Kelly to approve Resolution 2021-03 to establish and appoint members to the Simpsonville Municipal Facilities Corporation and the members as recommended by Administrator Gracely. Discussion? Councilmember Houlihan?
Can you summarize for us, Ms. Gracely, what qualities or qualifications you are looking for in the people who would serve on this board?
Sure. Just to give you a little background before I do that, I was asked to serve in the same capacity on Greenville County's board for the County Square redevelopment project. In fact, I signed my name to well over $100 million worth of bond issuances. So you have to get people who are fearless, first of all, to put their name on that. There is no personal liability or individual liability for them. But, you know, being able to explain to them their role and the fact that they do not have to be personally responsible for that debt. Serge Gillio, as you all probably know, is the owner of the ice cream station, so he's a very prominent business owner in town. He also lives in the city limits. Mayor Curtis, former Mayor Curtis as well, she owns a business on Fairview Road and also lives in the city limits. And then Hunter Howard III owns a lot of property that's currently being redeveloped. You may have heard that Sully Steamers is coming to one of their properties on South Main Street. So people who are just out there and very involved in the community, I thought that was important to find people who understood and shared the vision of this council for the future of Simpsonville and you know, their willingness and time availability to do it.
I think what I know of those three people that you're recommending, that they are fearless, and that they're committed and dedicated to the city of Simpsonville, and I would say that definitely all three of them share a vision for Simpsonville that the members of this council also have. So I think those are good recommendations. Thank you.
Councilmember Roche?
Just to make sure that we're following proper protocol, because with our boards and commissions, we usually accept applications for these sort of appointments, and this is working just the opposite way. Why are we doing it this way? And let me preface that by saying I have nothing against any of your recommendations. I just want to make sure that I understand why we're doing it this way.
It's in the interest of time,
okay.
Mainly. There just simply was not time to put the applications out there and try to recruit people to fill out those applications and then bring them to council for various votes. You know, if we were to have, say, seven people who are willing to serve, then you all would have to make a decision about which people would have the opportunity to do that and which would not. So I'll say mainly that's the reason. And typically when you do this, that's how it works, is that the city administrator or bond council would work together to try to find a makeup of the board that makes sense for its purpose. And this is not a long-term assignment either.
Okay.
This would be a short-term temporary assignment. And I guaranteed them all that when I recruited them for this role, because they're all very busy people. And that was the number one question that I got. How much time commitment am I going to have to put into this? And so that's another reason.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Especially, what is the term? And are the board members compensated?
They are not compensated. Mr. Love, yeah. Will you remind me, because I have not done this in quite a while, what's the term?
Sure. The term itself is 3 years, but they only meet once a year. So that's what Diana's talking about for a short-time commitment. And so what you can do for the next time when the term is up, you have more time to do your normal process.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Okay, on the motion to approve resolution 2021-03 to establish and appoint members to the Simpsonville Municipal Facilities Corporation as recommended by Administrator Gracely. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, item 6L. Councilmember Hutchings.
Board of Board. I would like to recuse myself from discussion and vote on the Gulftown Players lease agreement due to a conflict of interest.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Hutchings.
Mayor, for the record, Mr. Hutchings has signed a written recusal statement and provided that to me, and I have signed it. It will need to be made a part of the minutes of this meeting, and I have supplied that to Ms. Gracely, so she can do that.
Thank you, Councilor. Okay, item 6L, approval of Milltown Players Art Center lease agreement. Administrator Gracely, will you summarize for us, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor, members of council. We discussed this at Committee of the Whole last month. I'll try to be as brief as possible. When I first came here, the city had just put out an RFP for a partner to work with the city in revitalizing the old elementary school into a vibrant arts center. Those proposals were due right about the time that I came, and the only respondent to that was Milltown Players. Certainly, we are not entering into this agreement because they were the only respondent. We're very fortunate that they responded to it, and I believe that we are getting a very successful performing arts group to come in and hold 4 to 6 performances at minimum per year in that facility, so that there's always activity going on. They have certainly proven themselves in their facility in Pelzer that they were granted a few years ago. I know that a lot of you travel to Pelzer to enjoy those performances, and a lot of people from this area do the same. People come from all over to watch their performances because of the quality that they bring. Also, as I was preparing our application to the Appalachian Regional Commission for federal funding to help us with the renovation costs. They require an economic development component to any project when you're requesting funding. They want to know, what is this going to bring to your community economically? Otherwise, they're not interested in funding it. They especially like cultural projects that bring both cultural arts and economic development to the table. Milltown was a partner of mine in preparing that application. They provided information and insight into what we can anticipate as far as the financial amount generated by these performances in the center. There are studies out there that show that if someone buys a ticket and comes into town for a performance, they're spending X amount of dollars on perhaps dinner, fuel as they're leaving. We'll talk about fuel right now, but and perhaps staying in hotels locally and all of the above, you know, maybe going into a boutique and patronizing that business and buying items. So I say all that to say that I think we have an excellent partner in moving this facility forward to the vision that you all have for it. And this lease agreement would not, we designed it so that it would not be burdensome to them to meet their fiduciary responsibility to the city. So that their payment is structured to be relatively low monthly. But we do also have the ability to lease other spaces in that facility to generate additional revenue. So what we are presenting to you has not changed since Committee of the Whole, and that is a lease agreement that basically is a five-year term initially with 2 3-year renewal terms. So that would put them in that building if we exercise the renewal, and that is mutually agreeable to both parties. That would be an 11-year commitment for them in that facility, providing excellent entertainment for our residents and for people, hopefully regionally, that would come into the city and spend money.
A motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council approve Milltown Players Arts Center lease agreement as presented.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roche and a second from Councilmember Kelly. Did I get that right? I heard a female voice on that. Councilmember Kelly, to approve for the approval of Milltown Players Arts Center lease agreement. Discussion. Councilmember Kelly.
Only thing I'm going to say is that I'm really, really excited about this. I have gone to Pelzer to see my brother-in-law, was actually one of the actors. This group works extremely hard to put these performances on, and it shows. It was absolutely, totally enjoyable. I remember him, I think they practiced every night, rehearsed every night for like maybe a month or more leading into it. So the quality is there. This has been something that even before council, that building has been very special to a lot of us up here, a lot of people in town. So to see it not only, you know, through your hard work in finding, you know, grants and that sort of thing, where we're not using tax dollars to rehabilitate it, but now to see something this impressive go in there is just really, really, really exciting. So. And I think the whole town, there's been tons of chatter on social media that everybody is really, really thrilled and excited. So thank you for working with them.
Councilmember Gooch.
I will be brief as well. Thank you for the work that you're putting in. And I want to thank members of council and the community. And I'm going to be a little personal. That building means a tremendous amount to me. I did not go to school there, but my parents did. My grandfather actually worked in that building on some of the facilities and putting it together. And I have a long history there. And many years ago when I came on council, there was a different vision for that place that would have either raised it, turned it into something that would just have been a totally useless thing that would have been offices basically for the municipal use. That's not totally useless, but the public would not have enjoyed any of it. And then there was a different vision that I had, one that other members of council had, and one that, more importantly, the community had for that building. And we all stuck to our guns, and that vision is being seen today. So for those who said it can't be done, it won't be done, nobody knows what they're doing, look at me now. So, and I say that collectively, not just about myself. We did. And to all the naysayers, come buy a ticket, enjoy the show. And that's my way of saying, and I won't say that, that would not be nice to say publicly, so y'all fill in the blank of what I think.
I'll add to that too, what he said, but I can remember, I was probably still in college, I guess, or shortly thereafter, actually going there and volunteering to help paint. I mean, you know, group of volunteers, Brown Garrett, who served in this seat, and several other just citizens going there cleaning, painting, trying to make it something that we could use as it was, I guess. So, and I did go to school there. But this is a source of tremendous pride, I think, for this town in general.
So I will just add my comments. I did not go to school there, but my son did. He has been just fascinated with what's going on. I was never a naysayer, but I wasn't here to be part of it, so I just want to thank the members who were for your vision and making that come to pass, because it's exciting. And also, a longtime fan of Will Ragland, my fellow mayor, who is the executive director of the Milltown Players, and he's bringing something very special to Simpsonville, and incredibly excited. So, is there any further discussion? Councilmember Huley.
I just want to add one statement. I said a lot of stuff last time, and everybody else has said a lot of stuff, but I'm sitting here staring at Simpsonville Simply Home in front of my face and listening to the discussion that we've had tonight, whether that's the budget and what we've done there, and now this, and even things like the work with the Bailey Bill and some of the zoning stuff. And the theme is, here's the vision becoming reality. And it's really nice to be able to see that, still be here for it, and to be able to vote yes on this and all of the others.
Reality.
Got it.
Any further discussion? Councilmember Roche.
One thing, really quick, like everyone else. I actually brought two play groups through the building. Actually, it may have been three. Well, one came back for a second tour that, you know, they were considering that building and possibly buying it and making it their own for their school. One of them was Logos Theaters that operate now in Taylor's. And, you know, that vision just didn't quite come together. They decided to go to Malton, where they're going to build a facility from the ground up. But no bitterness whatsoever. I just want everybody to know that, because honestly, Milltown Players is the perfect fit for that. And so I'm really thrilled to have them there too.
Any further discussion? On the motion to approve, for the approval of Milltown Players Arts Center lease agreement, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously, 6-0. At this time, we are going to enter into executive session. A motion is in order. Councilmember Cummings?
I make a motion that council staff go into the executive session for the receipt of legal advice and a discussion of the city's position concerning pending litigation. Upon coming out of the executive session, council may vote on items discussed in the executive session.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Cummings with a second from Councilmember Gooch to go into executive session for the receipt of legal advice and the discussion of the city's position concerning pending litigation. It does say on our...
Councilman. Is this one that I need to recuse from? Okay. I would like to recuse myself. Okay.
Thank you, Councilmember Kelly. So I will point out that upon coming out of executive session, council may vote on items discussed in executive session, but I will also point out that we can also adjourn from within executive session. So If we do come back to have a vote, we will reconvene here in council chambers. And for the purposes of meeting the state law, I am now announcing that Simpsonville City Council is going into executive session for the receipt of legal advice and the discussion of the city's position.
Point of order. We have to vote.
That's right. I'm sorry. So on the motion to go into executive session for the receipt of legal advice, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously 5-0.
That's a good one.